Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Tony La Russa has been entrusted, I think it's safe to say, with one of the better teams in the American League. He's back as the manager of the Chicago White Sox this year. He's in his late 70s. He hasn't managed since 2011. And he is now making mistakes that are costing the White Sox games. They played the Cincinnati Reds yesterday in Cincinnati. So that'll clear up one thing for me here. As I read this story, I'm like, okay, why was there a pitcher on the base paths in a game? It's because the game was being played in a National League ballpark. So there was no DH in this game. That's important to this story.
Was La Russa aware of that?
Was La Russa aware that that there's no DH in the National League ballparks? I think he knew that part. The part that he did not know was that we know that they're playing extra innings under the same rules that they did last year, where teams start with a runner on second base. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty gimmicky and dumb.
It's gimmicky, and there are some nuances to it. But La Russa is the manager, so he should know these rules. And the rules are this. You start the inning with the spot in the order that got the last out of the previous inning. That spot in the order, whoever's in that spot in the order, starts on second base to begin the inning. So that is a runner on second base. Well, the person occupying that spot in the order for the White Sox was closer Liam Hendricks, because La Russa had done one of those double switches where the pitcher is now in the five hole in the order. So the person in that spot in the batting order was Liam Hendricks. So La Russa trots Liam Hendricks, their closer, trying to avoid injury too, by the way, out to second base to try to score the winning run. La Russa, and needless to say, it did not go well. Liam Hendricks, who posed no threat to the Reds at all on the base paths, was completely ignored. He got to third base, was completely ignored when the White Sox had a runner steal second. He had to stay on third on what would have been a potential sacrifice fly. Liam Hendricks on the base paths was not a good thing for the White Sox. What La Russa did not know, Seth, was that if a pitcher occupies that spot in the order where you have to put them on second base, you can actually use the player in the previous spot in the order, which would have been Jose Abreu. They could have put Jose Abreu on second. Here was La Russa following the game.
I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out, or that spot in the order.
So he was unaware that there was a rule that would have prevented him from putting his closer in harm's way on the base paths.
You know, when the White Sox named La Russa the manager, the whole sports world had a little bit of fun with it. It was an odd choice. White Sox fans not all that happy about it whatsoever. But you had to ask yourself, well, wait a second, am I being ageist? There are other guys in various sports that have coached well in their 70s. I don't know how many of them had been out of the game since 2011. So you hire a 76-year-old a full decade after he was last the manager. And I guess this is exactly the kind of thing that people were worried about. So he went and did exactly the thing that you would worry about, that a 76-year-old manager who wasn't in the game last year and didn't know all the rules that were changed because of COVID, that this is exactly how it went. This is one of those moments where I guess you can at least say, hey, at least we're not at that spot with any of our sports teams, I suppose.
Well,
maybe we'll see. I mean, we'll see with the Texans when Cully. We'll see what decisions Cully makes. But we're not there yet.
Dusty's no spring chicken now. You know, like,
he's not a spring chicken, but he hasn't made an egregious error quite like this. And he's
not
been
like
in the
this.
Game. He's been in the game continuously.
Right.
You know, that's a big deal. Actually, being because Sean, I when I'm 66 years old, if let's say I stop working at the age of 66. And for the next 10 years, how plugged in do you think I'll be to, I guess, the world of sports radio or the NFL in general. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, at the age of 76, if I were to get a marquee job, I'll guarantee you right now I won't be qualified for it. I just flat out won't. It's not as simple as just stepping right. I'd say the same thing like when I was like 30 years old and got injured and tried to get back into football shape after my injury and surgery. Holy crap, it was a whole lot different than when I had a major injury when I was 23,
right,
and had to get back in football shape. So you do the same thing with other professions or jobs. You take a full decade off, and it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, well, and the Reds scored a run in the bottom of the 10th. That was the top of the 10th when that happened. The Reds scored a run in the bottom of the 10th, and they won the game. So it may have cost the White Sox a win here.
To be fair, he was like a consultant for a few years during that time. It wasn't like he was completely checked out of baseball.
Well, then he should know the damn rules.
Yeah, he should. I know.
I mean, well, and here's the other thing too, though, Seth, and I'm not letting La Russa off the hook here, but did nobody in the White Sox dugout, nobody up in the booth upstairs, like, did nobody get in La Russa's ear and say, hey, Skip, you know you don't have to trot Liam Hendricks out there? I mean, that's a gigantic red flag, trotting out there to second base to go occupy second base. That's something that should have everybody looking at each other in the dugout. At the very least, if they don't know the rules, they're looking at each other. Oh my God, can you wait to see Liam Hendricks try to score from second base? The guy's never on the base paths ever.
Let's see who is it. Did he hire a bunch of his old cronies? Or is this a bunch of octogenarians out there?
They were all asleep.
Pitching coach Ethan Katz. I'm trying to find the picture of Ethan Katz and see how old he is. It would be either that or maybe somebody did try to tell him, but La Russa's just so stubborn and stodgy that he refused to listen. That he just flat out didn't. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was reading about Daniel Boone yesterday, Sean. It's a good book called Blood and Treasure, I think.
Okay,
but Daniel Boone was part of this this battle in the French and Indian War, where General Braddock from Britain was this cocky old coot from Britain who basically had no respect for the American Indian fighting skill whatsoever because they could not march nor did they wear red uniforms. How could they possibly fight? So this clown Braddock is marching his entire regiment like through the wilderness in single file, like with all his cannons and everything all in one spot. And all these the colonial officers and soldiers are begging him, like, listen, General Braddock, please, can we send some scouts out into the, can we please just, you know, just use a little bit more caution? And Braddock's like, bollocks, I'll not have these fools who don't even have uniforms, nor some of them are trying to shoot arrows at us like a bunch of dirty Scots. So he's just marching along, singing some stupid British chant or song or something, and bam, they all get crushed. They get demolished. The Native Americans, and I don't know if there are any French soldiers, all just emerge from out of the wilderness. These poor English bastards are just sitting there with their bright red target uniforms, and they just get skewered. They get cut down at the knees, and then the Indians recede into the wilderness, and the British try to, and then they come back and they crush them. That's Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa is this Braddock fool.
And then several decades later, Braddock's great 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 grandson Bill O'Brien coughed up a 24-0 lead to the Kansas City Chiefs.
So this is where Daniel Boone. So Daniel Boone had just volunteered for it. At the time, he was just like a 21-year-old farm kid or something. And again, because the British had no respect whatsoever for either the American Indians or the actual colonial officers and soldiers. They thought they were a bunch of clowns. They just had Daniel Boone, who was one of the best marksmen in all the land, driving a wagon in the back of the train.
Oh, my God.
It's like Boone made it out all right. But they had no clue what they were doing because all these clown Englishmen thought that they were the superior
fighters. That's La Russa.
Yeah, that's La Russa. La Russa's fighting by the rules of warfare of a previous generation.
That's great.
And he thinks that somehow that the old rules will apply and prevail.
I love that. All right, let's...
Stupid Braddock La Russa.
Let's go to the phones. Fort Worth, a nice call. I'll be up in Fort Worth tonight. My son walks at TCU tomorrow. Troy is in Fort Worth. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, not much, guys. I just been watching this last two series, like this last series with Altuve, and I think it's very like clear that he's just not cut for the big like he's cut for the big stage. He's not cut for like this type of barrage, and that's okay in my opinion, as long as he's not in the first spot leadoff. We gotta have Correa move up, in my opinion. He's that guy who wants it. Like he would drink your tears, and it would fuel him for the year. That's how Correa can live. Altuve's not there, and he's still one of the best players on the Astros. But guys, they're not gonna win these big games with Altuve and his mentality right now, because you're just getting crushed morally from the get go when you have your leadoff spot going 0-4, 1-5. It's just not going to work out in the long run. They don't have that spark like Springer used to have, where he would just come and just set the tone. And Altuve's just not there. He's not going to ring the answer at that bell. And I just think, like, maybe that's going to propel this team a little further, maybe add an extra couple runs. And I just kind of want to get y'all's opinion on that, because that's been my main focus during this Yankees game. And I'll hang up with you.
All right, thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. I've said all along, I've said it since spring training, Michael Brantley should be the leadoff hitter for this team. You know, the leadoff spot is not one that's out there stealing a bunch of bases for you anyways. He is your best, most consistent hitter. He's got a little bit of pop like Springer, not to the degree Springer did. You know, Brantley's never going to be a 40 home run guy, but he's a guy who's got a little bit of pop. He's your most consistent hitter. He is the hitter in this lineup that, quite simply, I want getting the most plate appearances. So why not put him at the top of the order?
I think, for this particular series, I almost would have wanted Bregman out there first, just because Bregman is the one. Yeah, look, Correa puts on a good show of it, but Bregman is the one who definitely 100% wants to choke you to death.
Yeah.
Like, and does not care at all. I think Correa still cares what people think of him, whereas Bregman just doesn't care. And I felt like him getting that first at-bat home run 2 days ago was kind of emblematic of the way Bregman is. So just for this series and this series alone, I thought it would have been pretty cool to roll out Bregman. I understand what you're saying, Sean. With Correa, I think there's the potential for power there that a lot of the people that use the unconventional leadoff guys this year or recently, they want somebody that can put the fear of a home run into the pitcher. But either of those guys, I think, might make sense. Altuve in this series, because I got into an argument with a Yankees fan about whether Altuve was wilting under the pressure of all this. It's hard to say because it's not like Altuve came into this series doing particularly well. Since COVID, he really has cooled off a lot. And the other thing about Altuve is, if you think honestly with yourself, he always looks a little bit nervous. You know, he's constantly biting his fingernails and everything when he's in the field. That's just kind of his look. It doesn't mean he is nervous, but I wonder if it's just easier to interpret that now when you see him getting booed. And this is what this Yankees fan was telling me. Look at him. He's out there. He looks nervous. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. That's how Altuve just kind of normally looks.
He carries
himself.
Maybe
it is affecting him. I could totally see it affecting him, but I don't know if it's as bad as some people are reading into it.
Well, on the heels of last season, it's easy to draw that conclusion because he looked like a basket case last year.
Because he wasn't allowed to bite his nails, Sean.
That's right, because of COVID. Yeah, good point.
You take away his coping mechanism, whatever it was.
Good point, COVID commissioner. Nice job.
I was genuinely concerned about that all season long.
Texas Tech is playing the University of Houston. College football. Texas kickoff 2021 at NRG Stadium. Matt Wells, the head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, joins us on the show next. We'll ask him about his team this coming year. They have a quarterback that might be in the mix for the Texans down the road named Tyler Shuck. We'll ask about that and a whole lot more. Matt Wells next. All right, it's going to be fun having a normal college football season again next year as we welcome you back in. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you on a Thursday, Labor Day weekend, NRG Stadium, season opener. It's great to have it back. The Texas kickoff game 2021, and it's going to be a true Texas kickoff game. The University of Houston taking on the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and joining us on the program right now is the head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders heading into his third season as coach in Lubbock. Matt Wells joining us on the program. Coach, good morning. Appreciate you making time. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys doing down there?
We're doing great. And certainly done with the draft and now looking forward to next season, college and pro down here in Houston. So, Coach, let me ask you this. The coaches that I've talked to and texted with at the college level over the last weeks and months have been saying, you know, the nicest thing about this spring is that we actually got to have some football this spring. How nice has it been getting back to some semblance of normalcy amidst the pandemic here?
Yeah, no masks. That's first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really good around here at Lubbock, and just, you know, low drama, no drama. Got through the off season, winter, spring ball, 15 practices. So that's all good. Looking forward to, you know, I think what looks like to be 100% capacity, and we're excited about playing college football and great state of Texas in front of great fans, and certainly, obviously, looking forward to that opener too.
You know, and you know, obviously the Texans are big here, and quarterback has been discussed a lot with us, as it has been with you, because you guys have. Coach, I'm going to apologize right now because I feel like I'm going to mess up the pronunciation. Tyler Shuck is the quarterback, the transfer from Oregon.
Very nice.
Okay. You know, I watched like three different YouTubes on it, and for some reason when I look at the way it's spelled and when I hear people say it, I just can't quite get into it. So, Tyler, tell us about Tyler Shuck. And honestly, he's going to be a guy that a lot of Texans fans are going to be watching, and obviously a lot of Cougs fans are going to be watching very quickly here.
Yeah, Tyler got here in March. He graduated from Oregon with a double degree, and within days of graduating was in grad school here at Tech and came in practice three in the spring. So certainly missed all the winter, the meetings and walkthroughs and things that we had with installing a new offense here under our new offense coordinator. So the guy can throw it. He's big. He's strong. He runs probably a little bit better than you think. He won some games at Oregon. They won the Pac-12 championship. I think he's a good leader. I think he'll improve over the summer, actually, and be a lot more comfortable in this offense as we go. And he's been a great addition to our team, a great teammate.
Matt Wells, coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, joining us on Payne and Pendergast here on Sports Radio 610. Coach, games like this, these, you know, sort of bowl game type early season games where you're playing in an NFL stadium, you're prepping for weeks and weeks for one opponent, and especially this one where it's against an in-state opponent and it's in a city that I would imagine that you guys are obviously recruiting very heavily. How important are games like this to a program overall, not just on that Saturday, but just in terms of recruiting and continuing to build that profile?
Yeah, I think it's important for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's important for us to get off to a good start in this season. Obviously, the opener brings a renewed spirit, a renewed vibe for all teams. The start of a season, certainly playing in Houston in front of what I know will be a huge Red Raider Nation crowd. I mean, they support us big time, and if we're at that full capacity, Red Raider Nation will show up and they'll be loud and they'll be proud, and certainly will not feel like an away game. I know to us, quality opponent, good coaching staff, good players. The city of Houston's important to us in recruiting. And so for all those reasons, yeah, it's important, but probably none more important than it's the first game of the year and Texas Tech needs to find a way to win.
Did you guys, you know, you mentioned now that things have gotten back to normal a little bit in the way you guys can prepare. I know that recruiting is still a lot different. Did you learn any lessons from out of necessity last year that maybe you carried forward into this year, the way you practice or the way you prepare, or maybe having to deal with uncertainty from week to week?
Yeah, I think dealing with uncertainty week to week, I think it prepares you mentally and emotionally to deal with the day and deal with bad news and deal with some of that uncertainty. I think learning how to practice with low numbers, we were in the 50s for a couple weeks in August, believe it or not. How do you find a way to still prepare the guys that are healthy, not sick? Those kind of things we learned. I think recruiting by Zoom and some of those things that we all learned, Every program did, I think will stick with us. I think you'll still use some of it even when recruiting does open up. So I can see a lot of positives in what we all learned over the last year.
Yeah, but the small roster sizes for practices, I hadn't really thought about that because, you know, for our listeners, in college you have more of a genuine scout team than you do in the NFL. In the NFL, guys, starters will practice against starters and everything. But part of the development in college is getting those younger guys reps against starters. Is it a little bit tougher to – do you feel maybe a little less confident or you've got a little less background information on some of your younger guys coming into this year than you normally would?
No, I can't say that, honestly, because we still practiced. We still went through the season. Those guys still were either on scout team or playing. We played 7 or 8 true freshmen last year. So I don't think so. You know, when I say we got down into the 50s, that was just for a couple of weeks. That wasn't, you know, like a 53-man NFL roster where that was all your starters. We had in that 53-man were true freshman walk-ons playing college football for the first time that were going to scout team and fifth-year senior starters. So it was a challenge to find ways to practice effectively at that time in August last summer.
TexasKickoff.com is where you can get your tickets, pre-sale ticket discount once tickets go on sale by joining the priority wait list. TexasKickoff.com is Texas Tech head coach Matt Wells joins us on the program. Hey, Coach, before we let you go, before you got to Texas Tech, obviously you were at Utah State, and as you can imagine, the story that's dominating things over the last few days is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. You coached Jordan Love for a couple of years at Utah State. I'm just curious your thoughts on the possibility, I guess, that if the Packers move on from Aaron Rodgers, they would be getting into the Jordan Love business with him as the starting quarterback. What are your thoughts, just from your time you spent with him, on him possibly becoming the starting quarterback in Green Bay?
He's absolutely ready for it. Love that kid. You know, we believed in him as a junior in high school, only Division I offer that he had. He's a self-made man. He's made himself into what he is right now, and I think he'll handle it. I think he'll do really, really well. He's a great teammate. He can flat out throw the football. But you're asking a guy that, you know, I'm probably his number one fan now that I don't coach him anymore. But, we'll see how that situation plays out. Who knows? Aaron Rodgers is one of the best to ever play the game, right? Whether he's at Green Bay or somewhere else, I don't know. But, you know, you asked me about Jordan Love. I love that guy. His time's coming in the NFL, and he'll do really well.
Good stuff. Matt Wells, head coach, Texas Tech, joining us on the program. Hey, Coach, really appreciate you making time. Certainly looking forward to welcoming you and your team to Houston come September and looking forward to a great season of college football. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate having me on.
All right, thanks. Rackham. Yep. There it is. There it is. Coach Matt Wells, Texas Tech, joining us on the program. Rackham.
This is another little one of my first moments of actually feeling like things are halfway back to normal. It's just actually talking to somebody about this game and then there's not really as of right now, no questions about whether it's actually going to happen or not. Barring any like huge surprises or anything. Yeah, we're definitely going to have the game. It's more of a question these days with any football game about how many people might be in attendance.
That's it.
But yeah, it's And, you know, I talked to Dana Holgorsen at the Houston Sports Awards a little bit, and one thing he said that's still different, obviously, is the recruiting. In that I think especially, you'd imagine Holgorsen's a guy that probably does pretty well in a person's living room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like just being in person there helps a lot. But then also from your coach's perspective, you're trying to get a read on a kid, you know, and get to know a kid. And when you're talking to him on Zoom versus actually, you know, meeting him in person, it's hard for both sides to really get a feel for the other guy.
It is. I think where a coach like Dana has an advantage in recruiting is that his school is actually in the city that everybody else wants to come recruit kids in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
It's easy enough for guys that Dana is recruiting to get intel on the University of Houston because they can just drive across town and do some unofficial stuff.
As opposed to hinting to a kid, hey, you should drive out to Lubbock.
Absolutely.
You know, take a look, see at Lubbock. See
when you happen to be driving through Lubbock, why don't you? Okay. That's not happening. All right. Darren Revelle, Action Network, is going to join us. Action Network just got purchased. I wonder if Darren Revelle made out good on that deal. I'm not going to ask him that on the air, but we'll get to some
of
the gambling
into.
What's
Darren going to be offended by asking an inappropriate question?
That's his deal. All right, Darren Revelle, Action Network, joins us for his weekly visit next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It is 9:36 on a Thursday. That can only mean one thing. It means that we are joined right now by Darren Revelle of the Action Network. Download that free Action Network app, baby. You got to have that to get all your lines, track all your betting activity, all kinds of good stuff, good content, actionnetwork.com. And Darren, I guess congratulations are in order. The Action Network acquired this week, and it sounds like that's good news for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, listen, with the way that, sports betting was going and what we provide, I had a feeling we'd be bought. And initially, I was a little bit skeptical that we'd be bought by a sports book, which I'm not sure would have been the best. The fact that we were bought by a European sports data betting company that has, 20 brands already in sports betting data makes me feel good that, the product is not only going to get better, but, that you'll see no change.
What do you do? What happens when you get bought out when you're a company like yourself? Are you waiting for the goons in suits to come in and reorganize everything? Are you going to stand up to the man, or are you just going to do what they tell you to do?
They told us, and maybe this is the party line, though I don't think so, given our success, they told us that they're not going to touch us. You know, that this is not a sale to reorganize or aggregate. And, it was actually when we got on with the folks from Denmark who, I think all three of them had two S's and two N's in their last name. I'm going to change my name to Darren Revelson. when we got on the phone, they said that they were jealous of what we did, so they had to buy us, which is, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, yeah.
My name is Hans. My pronouns are Strumpenbusker and Kippenschnacks. Yeah.
I won't go that far because that could result in my exit.
Yes.
So,
this is the biggest news that I saw in gambling that caught my eye, because unlike you and Sean, I'm a buck amateur when it comes to gambling, but DK Metcalf, the Seahawks receiver, is planning on trying out for the Olympics, and apparently I will not be able to bet on this like I wanted to. Why can I not bet on DK Metcalf definitely not making the Olympics?
Running has not, like Olympic betting and racing, is very much behind on the times. I think some of it has to do with, the amateur nature of it. I think that, obviously, I think the running people should, the people who are involved in running and in the USATF, the Track and Field Association, they should have done a whole lot more into getting into betting, because like the Diamond League, which is like the number one pro league that most of it's out of Europe, like, they canceled. They no longer do like the 5,000 and 10,000 meter runs because they say like it's so many times around a track that people are bored. Guys, if you did live in race betting, I mean, that makes like a 26 lap race seem like no time. So like I've for years I've said that they've had, I mean, you obviously can't do in-race betting in 100 or 200 meter, but for the very long races, that'd be awesome try to figure out. So they've always been behind, and the state's gaming control boards just don't seem to be ready to approve it.
Darren Revelle joining us on Sports.
I would bet against him, by the way. I mean, I would bet against him. There's a whole lot different, like out of the block speed versus like chasing down someone or football straight speed. I don't think he's going to be that competitive.
It seems like it would be one of the easiest That would be one of the easiest competitions to throw if you wanted to. I mean, losing, coming third place in a sprint, pretty easy. I feel like I could manage that even, and it wouldn't even look that sketchy. Is that part of it? It'd just be so easy to tank something, and nobody would suspect a thing. You just weren't that.
So it depends on it depends on what the bet is. But I think there is some uncomfortability with the fact that it's one person against the clock. Like, it's different when it's like someone is up to bat against someone, or it's them against the golf course. Or I think that there is thought that you could time it out in a way that could be compromised easier.
Is Metcalf the one that chased down Buda Baker in that game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's why all the
and he ran he ran yeah he ran a ten he ran. What did they say? He ran what miles per hour? I forgot. 22 miles per hour during that chase down. And I believe Usain Bolt. Yeah, and Usain Bolt was 23.3 at the Olympics in Rio.
With just a jersey and shorts on. Metcalf had a full football uniform on.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that they're right. But I spoke to someone in the know. They don't think he can do it. Okay. They don't think he can get. He would need a 10.05 to automatically qualify, and he'd probably need a 10.300 meter to get into the final. He ran a 4.33 in the combine in 2019. That's a 40, of course. So if you extrapolate that out, that's like 11 something. But I'm not sure. I don't know how fair that is.
Yeah,
Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Hey, Darren, the major topic the last couple days has been Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. How is that playing out in the betting markets? Are the Packers off the board right now for win totals? Like, how is this all impacting that corner of the universe?
A lot of people I haven't touched that, but a lot of people have been speculating. You know, like. The Packers are the last I heard the pack, and I'll check my app right now to be honest with you. But like that, people have been betting against the Packers because they don't think he's going to come back. I'm gonna see if this is the benefit of being in New Jersey with my 23 sports books at my beck and call here. So I'll get back to you to see if they're on the board.
Okay.
I haven't looked at this morning.
What are the
23 sports? Yeah, 23 apps. Yeah, they're the Packers are on the board. So
okay.
As of right now,
what's the number?
As of right now, 17-1.
No. But so what's their win total? Do you have that?
Oh, the win total. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, that's hold on. Conference winner win totals. Let's see.
Yeah.
I think the Packers are probably off the board for win totals.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think they could do that. I don't think they're on. Yeah. I'm going all the way down. Yeah, they're not on. They're
okay.
Taken off.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's 17-1 that Rodgers will be their quarterback?
No, that they'll win the Super 17.
Bowl. Oh, the Super Bowl. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't think they'd be 17. I don't think that's a number that you press. In other words, if Rodgers was on the team, I think that number is more what would it be? Maybe
like
10-1.
Yeah, I was going to say
8-1.
9-10.
At
to
least
1.
10-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe a little. Yeah. If he works things out, you got some value right there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean,
Darren,
the way Aaron Rodgers is with relationships, he's not. I'm not
valid
giving
point.
Him the benefit of the doubt.
Valid point.
I'm not giving that guy the benefit of the doubt. I
Fair
mean,
enough.
Hey, when you've chosen girlfriends and fiancés and wives over your family, I'm not going to go against that.
That is a very good point.
Darren, you just mentioned all the sports books there are in New Jersey. Make a financial case for Texas to approve legal gambling.
I mean, what's the financial case against it?
I'm for the sake. I know what the arguments are, but I feel like you'll deliver a pretty convincing argument.
Some of the arguments are that it doesn't. You know, once you see the big numbers, like New Jersey's going to do, I think they're projected to do $7.2 billion in handle, and that ultimately there's only $100 million or $150 million go back to the state. So like, does it really make a dent for the states that are like, oh, it's, from a religion standpoint, or it's morally reprehensible, is you're not doing 7 billion and people are acting like it's 7 billion, you know? But it's a lot of money. And the one thing about sports gambling is that Texas really hasn't felt, because obviously the state is so big, but you know, like, certainly the East Coast cities have felt that if it's not you, they're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like Massachusetts has gotten slaughtered and Connecticut has gotten slaughtered because it's very easy to drive to the states in the Northeast where, you know, you can go bet legally.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I wonder with like Tillman.
Yeah.
So like Tillman Fertitta has, you know, a lot of people from Texas go to his casino in Louisiana. I would imagine, like, immediately Tillman Fertitta would probably take some short-term losses in his Louisiana casinos, would he not? But ultimately, long-term, he's going to just have a huge customer base in Texas.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And Louisiana didn't – I mean, Louisiana's legalized it – they're not operational yet. They've legalized it by parish, you know, so we've seen for a long time they haven't had it either. It's pretty crazy that – if you're in Texas, you pretty much what's the shortest drive? Mississippi?
Yeah, to sports bet? Legally?
To legally sports bet.
Yeah, I think Mississippi. I think you're right about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I hope it gets approved down here so I can bet on a sporting event for the first time. I'm really looking forward to losing my virginity.
Exactly. Yeah, you're a good only legal person.
That's right.
I really appreciate it.
Handshake bets, friendly bets with people around the office.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Darren Revelle joining us on the show. Darren, how'd you do on your draft bets last week?
I actually did really well. I had Justin Fields over 7.5.
Bam.
Yeah. I had, what else did I, my big one.
Your big one was Newsom, the Northwestern kid, and I followed you with a little taste on that one. So that
he went 26 and I 24.5. Oh yeah, I forgot about the $1,500 I lost on that. Oh, okay,
must be nice.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just I flushed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I beat Tiki Barber in my show that I went.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So although they're like, and if Darren wins, you know, he's already employee. So Tiki gets $5,000 if he wins. But if Darren wins, we roll over the money for next week. I'm like, this is the first time I won. I'm like, what?
Yep.
I don't get the $5,000. They're like, no, we pay you. I'm like, okay.
That's what you get for being a full-time employee. If you were an independent contractor, you'd have gotten the $5,000. So
correct.
Yep. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joins us each and every week. Darren, we appreciate the time. As always, we look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks. Darren Revelle joining us on the show. Big congratulations to the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app, and you get all your gambling info you need. You track all your lines, track all your bets. Pretty cool app, so download it today. Also, download the Odyssey app, too, by the way. Audacy. That means you can bring us with you wherever you go. All right, Seth, so are you sufficiently amped up for McCullers v. Cole today? Are you sufficiently baseball angry?
Yeah, because I thought about this after the show last night or yesterday afternoon. We were talking about which former athletes have you been able to muster up some ill will towards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's usually harder than you expect.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been able to muster up ill will towards George Springer, although I haven't seen him out there yet. I haven't been able to muster up ill will towards Patrick Beverley and many others. The guys so far that I definitely have ill will mustered for,
okay,
Chandler Parsons,
yep,
although he's... He did us the favor of his knees completely falling apart after he left, so we barely gotten to see Chandler Parsons.
Right.
Garrett Cole, it was pretty quick. I mustered up some resentment for Garrett Cole. So, I'm looking forward to Lance McCullers and Garrett Cole going at it. I'm sure they're good friends in real life, but for 3 glorious hours this afternoon, I'm going to pretend that Lance McCullers hates Garrett Cole.
Yeah, they were together in 2018, and then McCullers, and 2019, I'm guessing McCullers was still around the team in 2019, but of course he missed that year with the Tommy John. Two glorious heads of hair, I would say, on the mound today with McCullers.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Lance is more glorious than Garrett's.
Yes, he had to tighten his up a little bit.
Lance would look smashing with or without facial hair, mm-hmm. you know, whereas Garrett Cole now has what could only, I guess, generously be described at best as the mustache of a future criminal. I at best, I'd say he's like a 16-year-old hanging outside a gas station
yep.
where you know the kid's on a path to no good.
Right.
But he hasn't quite done anything super illegal yet. That's what Garrett Cole looks
probably
like.
Probably just stole some chips or some candy or something like that, and now he's scarfing it down right outside the Circle K yeah. or whatever.
Or you know what he's doing is he's offering a homeless guy like $20 to buy him some beer, but then he stiffs the homeless guy. He like comes, he punches the homeless guy in his stomach, and then takes the money when he comes back out. He does, yeah. He's like, hey, thanks for the Zima. He has a homeless guy go in and buy him a 12-pack of Zima, and then he punches the homeless guy in the belly.
Can I just tell you that this feels a little like the Dan Campbell chewing on knees thing, where it's a very specific story that you're telling right now. It feels like something that you may or may not have been involved in, either as the culprit or the homeless person. I haven't decided yet.
I had a friend who had a knack for finding the guy to ask to buy beer for him. It was weird.
It's a special skill.
It really, you know what it was? It was like my friend Casey, who just didn't look like a narc or anything, you know, and just kind of had a way about him where you kind of got the sense that these weren't bums or anything he was asking. He would just ask some guy that looked like he just got off his shift, you know, on his way home. And it was like, yeah, I've been in your shoes before, kid. Here we go. Yeah. I'd be all nervous sitting in the car like, oh. Yeah. Casey would just stroll right up like, hey, man, can you buy some beer?
When we went to Fort Lauderdale my senior year in high school, me and like nine of my buddies went to Fort Lauderdale with no parents. They let us go our senior year.
Yeah.
And we found a homeless guy to buy beer for us, and he wound up hanging out with us the whole week. His name was Bob.
I befriended a guy when I was in Myrtle Beach one year. I befriended a 42-year-old guy who had struck up a friendship with one of my 18-year-old girlfriends, like friends who was a girl, and he hung out with us for the whole week. That was a lot creepier, but the alcohol was effective.
Absolutely.
He bought us alcohol the whole time.
Absolutely.
I don't know what happened to that guy. I have to call up my friend Amy and see if she kept up with the guy.
Seth, antibodies to you?
She was 18, man. She was 18.
Hey,
all right. It's
legal.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, and have a good show tomorrow. I will be watching my sons graduate this weekend.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wait, both Sammy and James?
James is walking. He didn't get to walk because of COVID last year. So he's walking, and Sammy's actually graduating. Yeah.
All right. I didn't understand that part. But
yep.
Congratulations, Sammy. Congratulations retroactively to James.
There
although
you
he's
go.
Already a, he's already a successful mortgage broker in Chicago.
In the
or
loop.
Or something like that.
He works for a mortgage company, yes.
Yes, he's
close
already
enough.
A successful mortgage person.
Close enough. All right. In the Loop is up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.